So hi everyone, just before we get started on today's episode, I wanted to let you know about my brand new live coaching summer program. It's happening over June, July and August. It's 4 different sessions and this is for you if you would like to be able to ask me anything. I'm there to do some group coaching, answer questions, give you some guidance, help you feel a bit more empowered, enlightened about your recent ADHD diagnosis. So this is there for you to help you build your awareness. And as routines sort of tend to go out the window over summer, these are just ad hoc coaching sessions for a group where you can come in and you can listen to other people ask questions, or you can ask questions yourself. Now, as you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. I am a coach. So I'm not there to give you medication advice, but I am able to help you with lifestyle advice if you are interested in changing careers, if you're looking for a more spiritual take on the way you live your life with this new chapter of ADHD. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's 4 different sessions. It's £144 for the 4 live group coaching sessions, which is a really fantastic opportunity to work with me, ask some questions and connect with other like-minded people. So all the information is on my website. If you just head there, you'll be able to see all the details. And this is all going to be live on Zoom. So this is going to be safe, non-judgmental space where you can really ask those questions and discuss your concerns amongst people who really do get it. And I'm hoping to be able to offer you as much practical, emotional, and spiritual tools and practices so you can apply straight away to your daily life. All the details are on my website, adhdwomenswellbeing.co.uk, and I really look forward to seeing you then. And here is today's episode. Welcome to the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Podcast. I'm Kate Moore Youssef, and I'm a wellbeing and lifestyle coach, EFT practitioner, mum to 4 kids, and passionate about helping more women to understand and accept their amazing ADHD brains. After speaking to many women just like me, and probably you, I know there is a need for more health and lifestyle support for women newly diagnosed with ADHD. In these conversations, you'll learn from insightful guests, hear new findings, and discover powerful perspectives and lifestyle tools to enable you to live your most fulfilled, calm, and purposeful life wherever you are on your ADHD journey. Here's today's episode. I'm absolutely delighted to bring today's podcast to you. And this is a conversation that's very close to my heart. This is a conversation about my own personal learnings and what has been driving me spiritually over the past few months, but really over the past decade, because this is a concept that I have been learning about and blending in with a lot of my coaching and my personal kind of growth and expansion. And we're talking about Kabbalah. Now, today I've got David Geeham. Now, David is a world-class Kabbalah teacher, and his life has encompassed over 20,000 hours of personal, spiritual, and entrepreneurial coaching and 1,000 seminars given, utilizing this amazing universal wisdom of Kabbalah. If you don't know anything about Kabbalah, it's really worth maybe doing a little bit of research yourself, but essentially it's a universal wisdom, it's spiritual technology, it's thousands of years old, and it blends together so many different concepts that you may know about in different religions, but really this is not about religion. This is all about spiritual understanding, growth, expansion, leaning into the light, and really fulfilling yourself and your purpose, and understanding the why of life, understanding you, understanding why you are here and what you are here to contribute. So he has got an amazing masterclass, which is called Kabbalah One. And he also hosts one of the world's top spiritual podcasts called The Weekly Energy Boost, something that I listen to pretty much every week. And he has a very successful business also that he co-owns, and he is co-founded with his wife, Mary Ruth. It's Mary Ruth's Organics. And it's category leader in vegan liquid vitamins and gummies, and is a trusted brand amongst millions of parents in kids' health nationwide. So it's really worth looking into that as well, because what they're doing is really forward thinking. You'll see that David is a human being just like you and I, and we really blend the conversation of understanding all this spiritual growth, the wisdom, with the understanding of ADHD and later diagnoses in life. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation. It's definitely a little bit more left field, but as you probably know by now, I'm very into my spirituality and it has really helped me process everything that I've gone through and understand my brain, my nervous system, why I'm here, my purpose, my service, everything. It means so much to me. So I really hope that today's episode resonates. I'm sort of, you know, feeling a little bit nervous about sharing this because this is really a lot of my personal growth. And if I didn't have this deep foundation, I know I would struggle. So if you know someone that is yearning, who is desperate for more sort of spirituality, more understanding about their soul and the deeper purpose in life, this is the episode for them, for you. I really hope you enjoy it. Here it is. So David Guillaume, welcome to the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to have you here. I have listened to you, I said, you know, before off camera, I've listened to you. You have literally been in my ears for the past 3 months because of you and listening to Kabbalah 1, Kabbalah 2 and Kabbalah 3. You've helped me understand this incredible technology, this universal wisdom that has been woven through so much of my coaching practice for many years, but you've helped me solidify it, bring it together. And I wanted to bring Kabbalah to the audience because I believe that it'll connect lots of dots for them. I know they're spiritually open, they're hungry, they want to know more. So for someone that is kind of like, oh, I remember Kabbalah from Madonna back in the 90s, but they've not heard much about it since. Can you give us a little quick ADHD breakdown, nice and concise, what Kabbalah is?
Yes. And it's funny, I started studying 25 years ago, right around kind of when the whole world started to hear about it. Now, Kabbalah is, best way I can describe it, universal ancient wisdom that explains the secrets of the human soul while we're here, why we go through the challenges we go through, and the big picture of the mission of what to do in our lives to achieve our life's purpose. And I think what's really powerful about Kabbalah is that Kabbalah explains the why behind everything. If you, many people will realize if they decide to go deeper, Kabbalah will pretty much answer every question that we have about life and kind of put it in a logical solution. Mm. I talk to so many people like yourself who have been in the spiritual world for a long time, have been coaching for a long time. You intrinsically understand kind of universal law, but what Kabbalah has done for them is kind of put it all together into a system. Mm. I shared with you earlier, I have people from every religious background and spiritual background. They follow me or they follow this wisdom, and they say that Kabbalah helps them become a better XYZ. So Kabbalah is not meant to replace what you believe in, but it will hone in and crystallize all the wisdom you already know.
Yeah. And that's so beautifully articulated because that's really what's happened with me. It's taken me a while to understand about the energy behind things. But what Kabbalah and learning Kabbalah has helped me is just bring it together and understand that so many different components of it that I can bring in my day-to-day life. And that's what I love. It's ancient. We're talking like 2,000-3,000 years old.
Well, actually, it originally, it's the spiritual technology behind Abraham's teachings, but it explains this wisdom since the beginning of time. So a lot of, if not most of, the major religions and spiritual paths that we have today, kind of this is the spiritual side of it, whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, Eastern philosophies. So you're basically learning the spiritual soul of these wisdoms.
Yeah. And I know we can go much deeper and, you know, from listening to some of your classes, sometimes I have to go and lie down afterwards because to allow it to integrate and I'm still like,
there's a lot of content. There's a lot of content. There's a lot to learn here.
Yeah. I feel like I'm good, kind of like 10%. It's, you know, it's gone in, but I keep using the word integrate because there is an integration that I might have to read 4 books and then listen to some of your seminars and then all of a sudden the penny drops. Yeah. But essentially this universal kind of new language, this wisdom, this guidance can help us in our careers, in relationships, parenting, but also from an ADHD perspective, it helps us live life on a day-to-day basis with more human compassion, more tools, like genuine practical tools, so we can feel more regulated, we can feel calmer, more accepting of who we are. And also this kind of permission to ask for guidance, to say, actually, I don't know what the next step is, and to welcome in some help. Tell me more about, if someone's listening now and they're thinking, what the hell? Like, where do people start?
So I'll start with somewhere. Now, we started to talk about it, and I actually have been learning a lot more about ADHD. I have so many people close to me in my life who have been diagnosed. And so we discuss it a lot. And what I've come to learn with the limited knowledge that I have and trying to combine it spiritually, ADHD is a superpower. It's a superpower that's almost like a live wire of energy. It's almost like the creator has bestowed upon you this raw, naked energy. And all we need to do, and I like that you use the word regulate, all we need to do is create a vessel for this energy. When you have a vessel for energy, you have miracles. When you don't have a vessel, or you have the wrong vessel for energy, you have chaos and you have bitterness. So for example, a good one way of looking at it is, imagine a 60-watt bulb. A 60-watt bulb can shine 60 watts of energy, but many people in life often crave 1,000 watts of energy, right? So let's say, for example, in relationships, a person says, you know, I want this kind of a soulmate, or I want this kind of a career. I want to make this kind of money. And they talk about something much bigger than what they have. This represents maybe a desire for 1,000 watts of energy, but their vessel is only a 60-watt bulb. You bring 1,000 watts of energy into a 60-watt bulb and you have a massive short circuit. So Kabbalah, actually the word Kabbalah means to receive. It literally means the vessel. It's the wisdom of how to create the vessel that holds this energy. ADHD, or really a lot of the times when we feel overwhelmed, is really just the light of the creator. This infinite force that wants to be revealed, this infinite force of goodness that wants to be revealed. And it's asking us to create a vessel for it. And this is why, if you can, and this the technology of Kabbalah helps you do that, if you can build your soul to hold this light, then what is often irritability or anxiousness or stress or doubt or fears transforms into compassion and empathy and certainty and courage and drive. And that's really what Kabbalah is teaching. Kabbalah goes further and says, every soul that came to this world has a purpose to ultimately receive the totality of the light of the Creator. And this light is like the white light. When refracted through a prism, you have many colors. So when you take the light of the Creator and you refract it, you have all the types of pleasures and fulfillment that we're looking for. So one color is love, one color is prosperity, one color is friendship, one color is knowing my purpose or health and healing, having children, right? Everyone's looking for a color. But instead of chasing after these individual colors, Kabbalah says, go to the source. Go to the white, quote unquote, white color, the light of the Creator. Bind your soul to that energy. And then the miracles begin to happen. And people say, you know, when they take what you took, the masterclass, my Kabbalah 1, people say, like, within a couple hours, they shift their focus, not from how do I improve my marriage, or how do I get my kids to be a certain way, or how do I look better, feel better. Those are just colors. They start to hone their desire into how do I bind my soul to the light of the Creator. So Kabbalah explains, well, how do you do that? You become like the Creator. So Kabbalah explains, well, what are the qualities of the Creator? And so one by one, we go through the qualities and we learn how to emulate those qualities. That's the system. That's the structure. And as soon as you begin to do that, what seems like doubts, fear, anxiousness, all that energy transforms into stability, courage, power, and certainty.
Yeah. I think... it's hard when people hear the word, you know, superpower with ADHD, because they've spent a lot of their lives feeling misaligned, that they don't understand why they can't do certain things, and things have been a huge challenge to them, and they can't hold down maybe jobs, careers, relationships. And when they get the diagnosis, you know, and I'm speaking on behalf of many of my community, but also from myself, I understand that finally we kind of go, oh, okay. And we go through a bit of a process of grieving that this sort of version of us that kind of spent a lot of time, you know, in self-criticism, in self-doubt, in anger, in this sort of negative energy. and where we can move into this sort of light that you're talking about of self-compassion, self-acceptance, openness, you know, an expansion like to new opportunities, to growth. And it's interesting because that is the process that we're seeing, that finally we're able to say, this is us, this is who we are. You know, we've been put in a box, we've been put in whatever, if you want to call it maybe a vessel, I'm not sure if I'm using that in the right way, but we've been put in one vessel that didn't fit us, that didn't suit us. And now we're understanding we can get, you know, move into a vessel that feels like more soul aligned. And this is why I loved Kabbalah for me, because it's helped me. I've gone through therapy, I've gone through coaching, I've gone through so much. Yes. For me, Kabbalah was the one thing that just made me go, oh, it's all going to be okay. Like, it's 100%.
Okay. I've heard that so many times. People say, you know, 3 hours of Kabbalah can be equivalent to 10 to 20 years of therapy. And, you know, one of the things that everybody should know who's hearing this is the reason why the creator makes a person a certain way. And I actually made a post about this that just went bonkers on my Instagram. This idea of, if you're the black sheep of the family, what does that mean?
I saw that.
Often the person who's considered to be the black sheep is the one who's misunderstood, is the one who doesn't fit in, is the one who's a little different. And Kabbalah explains that the black sheep is the person often that is a soul, that is a great soul that is coming down and intentionally not meant to fit in. If everybody fit in and everybody was normalized, we wouldn't have innovation, we wouldn't have progress, we wouldn't have world leaders, we wouldn't have great CEOs or inventors and geniuses. We need people who don't fit in. Now, the challenge becomes when you're given so much power and energy, what to do with it. And it's interesting, you said something. You said, like, as soon as a person becomes diagnosed, there's this relief almost, because there's a level of certainty of, hey, I am different. Now I'm going to accept that. That's number one. Yeah. But number two, I'm here to say, not only are you different, but you're different actually in a really good way. Like, you've been chosen by the creator to create something big in this world. Now, the fact that you don't know what that is, that's okay. That's okay. We're going to earn that. We're going to earn that knowing. But know that you're one of the few chosen people in this world who has the ability and capacity to create something that no one else can create. Now that we know that with certainty, well, how do we get there? How do we harness this power, this energy? So the first thing I would say, and it is this word of certainty. Kabbalah explains that when you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know your future, you don't know when you're going to pay your bills, or you don't know if or when you can even get pregnant, or when you'll find your soulmate, or when this family situation that seems so toxic is going to resolve itself. Like, we all live with a not knowing. At any moment in our lives, there's at least one part of our lives that is confusing and in darkness. And I'm sure our audience can relate to that. Every time you don't know, this is a good sign. This means that the Creator is creating miracles for you behind the scenes. The reason why you don't know is you're being asked to put your ego aside so the miraculous energy can go and form and shape this new destiny of yours. The problem is when we know what to do, when we have complete quote-unquote clarity, we get too involved and we begin to limit the process. So that is why before every great thing that has ever happened to your life, and people can go back and look at it, think of every great thing that's ever happened, it was most likely preceded by a time of great darkness and confusion and difficulty. And it is by design that you will be put through this confusion, because this great destiny is being formed for you. Now, when you know that, I'm telling you now, right? I'm telling you what the sages are telling you, that you know that your great destiny is being created. Oh, there's a huge relief. This is analogous to going to the gym. And when you go to the gym and you have a great workout, maybe a workout you haven't had, such a great workout in such a long time, the next day you wake up and you feel incredibly sore all over your body. You actually feel weak. You feel tired, you have symptoms of often body aches, like almost like you have a cold, but you're actually feeling really good every time you touch a sore part of your body. Because we have trained ourselves that before a great muscle is formed, before a beautiful body comes, It will be preceded by a weak, broken, and sore body. And that's a good sign. So even biologically, something needs to be broken down before it's rebuilt and rebuilt better than ever before. And anyone who's listening, you are probably being broken down right now in some part of your life. You're probably going through confusion, and it might even feel personal, and it might even feel like you're being attacked or you're being picked on, or that you've been dealt a bad hand. This is all by design. This is all really divine and beautiful. And your free will here is, if you want to speed up the process of the miracle and you want to have less chaos in that process, have certainty. Have certainty, even if you have to fake the certainty. Have certainty in what? Have certainty that the darkness is good. Tell yourself, I have certainty in the light of the Creator. I have certainty in the light of the Creator, and that I know that everything that the Creator does is good. I have complete certainty that even though I don't feel good, I will feel good. Mm. I have complete certainty that I already have everything. That's probably the last one is most important one. I have complete certainty that I have everything, even though I don't feel I have everything. Because the law of resonance states that lack attracts lack and abundance attracts abundance. Mm. The more you worry about something, the more you feel you're missing something, you attract a lot of other vessels out there, a lot of other empty people, a lot of other empty energy. So before you leave the house, you should meditate that you aren't missing anything. You already have everything. Even though you're going outside of your house to go make money and find a relationship or invest in one, and you're looking for something, right? That's why you're leaving your house. But the paradox is, no, leave your house, go engage with the world, but do so with the consciousness of you're already full, you already have everything, and then you'll attract more miracles to you, because miracles are attracted to wholeness, not to lack.
That's beautiful. And I think so many people will be listening and resonating, because we will have spent a lifetime overthinking, worrying, in anxiety, anxious thoughts. And neurobiologically, we know with an ADHD brain, we are more prone to worrying, rumination, overthinking. There's a part of our brain that is more, I guess, is stronger in that capacity, this negativity bias. So yes, we're having to override neurobiologically, but I have used exactly what you said, because I've learned from you that it's practice every day. And that certainty for me has helped so much, because I've lived so long in self-doubt and this sort of spiral. So these little things, when I say little, incredibly profound, but we can just keep working at that every day, honing in on, I have certainty that even though I don't have the answers now, things are working out in my favor, things are happening behind the scenes.
It's actually a better sign. If things are going well for you, it's not as good of a sign as when it's not working out for you. And the other thing is, when you have anxiety, that is because there's so much energy that we call it your surrounding light. Your light that surrounds you is trying to become your inner light, which is the miracles in our lives. And the pressure and the anxiousness we feel is, wow, there's this great light that is pushing to be revealed, almost like when a woman is about to give birth. There's this pressure. There is this, like, this great light wants to be revealed. This baby wants to be born. And it's interesting. The greatest, most fulfilling experience for a woman, which is the birth of her child, is preceded by the most excruciating pressure and pain that she will ever feel. Mm. Right? Because that pain becomes the vessel for that great light. Yeah. And so, you know, every time I wake up, if I wake up in the morning, which happens often, by the way, more often than not, with anxiety and pressure and stress, I go, oh, what a pleasure. What a pleasure that I have so much anxiety first thing in the morning. This means that today there's a great light that's meant to be revealed. And you just change that consciousness right then and there. Instead of ruminating on it, trying to push it away, don't push it away. Don't label it as something bad. Don't stigmatize anxiety. Anxiety is an indicator of great light. Embrace it, welcome it, say, I love you, anxiety. Give me more anxiety, in fact. I what a pleasure that I have this stress, because it's indicative of the greatness of my soul. And I welcome the challenges that are going to come, and I will just handle those challenges one by one, which obviously Kabbalah explains how we do that.
Yeah. And that's, is that you know, what I'm hearing is there's so much intentionality, you know, every day, every minute, when you've got this consciousness that clearly you have after so many years of really living this life, that you are obviously human. You go through all the human experiences that we're all going through. I know you're a dad, you run a business, a very successful business, and you're coaching and helping so many people through the Kabbalah Center. You have a lot going on in your life. And you are prone, you know, if you're saying you're waking up with anxiety and you're having to make decisions on behalf of lots of people in your life, do you ever forget that you have Kabbalah and the human side of you just kind of like takes over?
Oh my God. Every day, because here's what's happening. Every day you're going to a new level and you're growing. And in that new level, you're experiencing a whole new reality, a whole new type of fear, a whole new type of pressure. Now, every time you complete a reality or you overcome it, which Kabbalah helps you just do that like daily, as opposed to some people through pain and suffering learn lessons through years of work, right? Kabbalah, you can learn lessons within minutes, hours, days. It just goes by really quickly. Every level you transform, you receive the abundance, the fulfillment, and the wisdom of that level. And then you move up to a new level, which is actually very nice and it's very fulfilling. And so every new level comes with its new challenges. So I probably fail 9 out of 10 times. The difference may be that every one of my failures, I also get very excited about. Because the main challenge, the most negative force that actually attacks most people is guilt and shame. The problem isn't that maybe you snapped at your spouse. That's not the problem. The problem is, or you snapped at your children. Yes, that's a one moment of negativity, like 1 second of negativity. The problem is the guilt, the fear, and the shame people carry for hours and days and often years.
Yeah.
Then that vibration is actually disconnecting them from the light of the Creator for an infinite longer amount of time. You know, I don't know why I felt called to share this, but I once had a coaching session with a woman who was 70 years old, and she told me, because I started to speak about the soul's journey around miscarriages and abortions, and there's a whole lesson I teach about that, and a lot around it is reincarnation, and a woman needs to know this is not her fault. You know, in hindsight, if a woman had a miscarriage, for example, it's because the soul volunteered to come and then leave for the process of elevating you as a woman. And it also means that soul is meant to come back in some way. So not to have sadness, guilt, or fear around it, because that actually delays the soul's coming. But to know that if it was once there, it wants to come again, but the timing was not right, and there was lessons that still needed to be learned. There's a whole special lesson, secret, a lot of secrets around that. But this woman came to me and said, you know, 50 years ago, when she was 20 years old, she had an abortion, because it just wasn't the right time for her, she said, to have a child. And ever since then, she couldn't have a child. She said for 50 years, she was holding on to that guilt and that shame and thinking something she did wrong. And I think her religious beliefs also impressed upon her that maybe she's not a good person for doing that. She carried that energy. And what I told her is, you carrying that energy is actually the most detrimental thing you can do for your soul. It's not the actions we do. It's how we often feel about them with guilt and shame that create the most damage and break the vessel that holds the light. And a lot of people's negative feelings in life or sadness comes from something they're holding on to that they think they did wrong or a missed opportunity, when in reality, you need to know you didn't even have free will. Whatever's happened in the past, you were meant to do. It was meant to happen to you. And the sooner you accept that, let go, and get excited about it, you actually move forward and you build a whole new vessel to bring back all that light that you quote unquote may have lost. So it's about moving forward. I'll share one example. You know, when your child makes a mistake, let's say you have a 9-year-old boy. He comes home from school and says, "Mom, you know, I made a huge mistake today. I hit some kid in school. I was really upset. And I'm going to now go to my room, punish myself and feel horrible about this for the next 3 years. And I'm going to make sure I stay in as much sadness as possible so learn my lesson." Are you as a mom going to be like, "Well, bravo, son. That is exactly how I want you to be. Go sit in your room and be depressed for the next 3 years." As a mom, you actually would get very scared if your son said that. Mm. Now, the Creator feels the same way about us when we decide to punish ourselves for years what would have been the better response by the child? It would have been, "Mom, I want to let you know, I wholly own and take responsibility for what I did today. I feel the pain of it. I'm using that pain to become a different person. I'm not going to feel guilt and sadness. I'm going to go to my room and really think about how to become better. And I promise you tomorrow, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be different. And I'm going to go into school as a giver," right? That's what's going to make the parent happy. It's that responsibility plus extreme transformation and happiness. So that's how you know you're connecting to the light of the creator. If the end result is transformation and happiness, you're in the right place.
Yeah. This is why I love it so much, because this wisdom is so applicable to so many areas of our life. And it's so, like we say, it's ancient wisdom, and it's so perfect for this modern world that is throwing absolutely everything at us, you know, at a speed that, you know, many of us can't cope with. And it helps us move away from the chaos that is external. And I hope for me that, you know, and the reasons why I found it so helpful is that it gives me more internal calm. It helps me have this certainty that everything, no matter if I understand it, I don't understand it, it's happening for some reason, for my soul, my soul's expansion, my growth, to also be of service, to be sharing what we're learning. So I'm learning, and I wanted to bring this to the audience because it's too big, because, you know, this is all about growth and expansion. This is about knowledge. It's about, like you say, leaving behind these very dense, heavy energies of guilt and shame, which, again, because we've not understood ourselves for so many years, for decades, we've been, you know, I'm going to speak again from, you know, what I hear a lot in the community, workaholics. We've been trying to prove something. We have been working nonstop. We've been trying to portray a version of us that maybe isn't authentic.
It's almost like there's an overcompensation that's trying to happen.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. And so this is now just this kind of, I can breathe.
Oh, yes.
I don't have to be in control. I think for me, that was a big thing.
No. Everyone feels like they need to do it alone, and then they end up working much harder than they need to. And I'm not saying hard work is not part of the spiritual work, right? I'm not saying discipline's not. I'm not saying structure is not. But I'll tell you, what's going to bring you 100x return versus not doing is inviting the creator's energy into your process, is elevating your consciousness to be on the frequency and the vibration of the light of the creator, as Kabbalah explains. And then everything you do will be prosperous. Everything you do will be more successful. Everything you do will yield a bigger and better return. And then also your capacity to receive is very contingent upon your belief system of what you deserve to receive. And so everyone has kind of a ceiling on their wealth, because beyond that amount, whether they're conscious of it or not, they feel they don't deserve. And so that could be $100,000 a year. It could be $1 million. It could be 10 million. I know everyone I know, it's very easy for them to make money up to that amount. And then there's chaos. And something happens and they start to sabotage. We see this in relationships too. People who are single for a while, but are also saying that they want to find love, they have these limited belief systems, these competing belief systems, competing desires. On one hand, I want partnership. On the other hand, I want freedom. On one hand, I want to share and give love. On the other hand, I want to focus on my career because I have so much to do. So these competing belief systems confuse the universe. The creator is like, wait a minute, what do you want? Because you're throwing 100 different desires at me and they're all competing with each other. So it's like putting your foot on the gas and having the parking brake on at the same time, nothing's going to move. So whoever's listening, whatever part of your life is not moving, the first place to look is, what are the competing desires and belief systems you have in that area that are clashing with each other, and as a result, sending a confused and mixed signal to the world?
I wanted to ask you about a big part of Kabbalah, which is the tikkun, the correction, however you want to describe it, because that's been a big thing for me to understand what a tikkun is, the correction, the repair that we've all been bestowed in life, that we may have several. And it's almost like that challenge that we have to overcome so we can grow and expand more. You're the professional. Tell us a little bit about understanding what tikkun is in Kabbalah.
Sure. when the soul comes to this world, it has a, for lack of a better word, spiritual baggage that we came to this world with. We brought it from past life. And by transforming this spiritual baggage, which we call tikkun, by correcting it, we create an affinity of form with the light of the Creator, and as a result, the miracles come in. And there are layers and layers to this baggage. What's interesting about the baggage is, let's say, for example, a person has the fear of abandonment, all right? That's one of the spiritual layers of baggage that they need to overcome in this lifetime. They will actually, that soul will choose the parents, let's start with parents, the parents and the siblings that are most conducive for it to see its abandonment issue and then overcome it. So the soul might actually choose a more hostile environment, or an environment where the parents are separated or emotionally absent, not because that's what created the fear of abandonment, but that is what is bringing up to the surface that fear of abandonment, which has already been carried from past life. So it's not that it's the parents' fault. In fact, the parents were chosen as the best instigators to bring it out so that you could transform it. You also chose the people who hurt you in high school or in college, or these relationships that were quote unquote toxic or emotionally unavailable. Like, all of these people come into our lives, our soul is requesting in order to see the tikkun. Otherwise, you can't see it. When you go to the dentist, he's going to point out the cavity. He's not going to focus on the 30 or so healthy teeth you have and you know, and applaud you and give you an award for it. He's going to be like, look, you came to see me to take an x-ray of your teeth and I have found a cavity. And you're not going to be like, well, I, you know, I'm upset with you that you're just focusing on the bad here and let's move on to my good side. That's not the point of the dentist. And so life, the way it is energetically designed, is it will point at and press on the parts of our soul which are unlike the Creator so that we can see it, feel it, experience it, and transform it. So I imagine, I don't know what percentage of your audience is in a long-term committed relationship, but the one of the things you should know is if you're in it, you're in one and it's difficult for you, a big part of this difficulty could be because that soul is there to actually show you where to become stronger and transform inside yourself. And by you transforming, one of two things will happen. Either that person will also transform because you're not allowed to energetically, the Creator won't send you someone who's energetically below you, or that person will leave. But either way, screaming at the other person to change is not what's going to work. The Creator is waiting for you to shift your tikkun, transform your tikkun, thereby shifting your vibration, thereby shifting to a new destiny. And there's a whole new person waiting for you in that destiny.
Yeah. So this is kind of like we're talking about, there's a system, and I kind of see it as like levels, and you kind of crack that tikkun, that code, you understand, and you say, right, okay, because there'll always be another challenge. There'll be something else. And it's not like we sort of just get to, you know, 15 and be like, we've cracked it all, everything, we're done. There's always going to be, like you say, these mirrors, these people that come in and show us something that we've not uncovered yet, or show us a challenge or a weakness.
Correct.
Which is kind of hard to swallow a little bit because we kind of know. But then on the flip side, when we spend so much time questioning, why did I get this parent? Like, why did I get this partner? Why is that friend there like constantly pushing on my buttons? We can flip that script and kind of go, thank you for almost short circuiting, you know, for us to kind of just be like, great, I've got it in my face. Yes. I can either say, right, bring it on. Let's kind of really focus in on it and see what we can do to move forward. Or we carry on with this spiral, which is, I wonder maybe if it's connected to like these generational cycles that we see. And I think going back to the ADHD, there's so many generations that haven't understood their neurodivergence. And there's been chaos and dysfunction through the generations and the same patterns. And then all of a sudden we go, oh, he's autistic or she's got ADHD. And that is why she or he has not been able to do X, Y, and Z. And there can be past healing. We can go back and forgive our relatives, but we can almost say, right, I understand now, and we can move forwards. And like, we move forwards with more clarity, we move forwards with more certainty. And this is why we find more inner peace after a diagnosis. You know, we understand our neurodivergence and we can soften and relax a little bit.
Everything you just said is what people will feel as they begin to learn and embark on this spiritual path. Like that sense of knowing and that calmness. By the way, you're going to see the whole playing field. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, right? You still got to play ball. But seeing the whole playing field, turning on the lights, seeing who all the players are and why they're on the field makes the game of life so much more enjoyable. The anxiety goes away. Mm-hmm. And now it's just about doing the work that I see in front of me. Because I think the biggest pain people have is not even knowing what is the work I need to do. Like there's so many people who are willing to work.
Yeah.
They want to transform. They want to see miracles. They just don't even know where to begin. This makes it clear.
Okay. So people are listening right now and there's a curiosity, there's an interest. This conversation is just like, yes, this is feeding my soul. Where can people find Kabbalah 1, 2, and 3? Tell people where they can hear your podcast. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to hear from you.
Sure, sure. First thing I'll tell everybody is, you know, the work I do with Kabbalah and spirituality, I do it all for charity. I do not monetize this. This is all 100%. For the last 25 years, I've been studying. For 20 years, I've been teaching. I think about 8 years ago, they decided to professionally record my most popular course, which is called Kabbalah 1, which is basically 10 one-hour sessions that explain all the secrets to life. So we cover everything on relationships, life's purpose, why your soul's in this world, emotional regulation, overcoming doubts, overcoming fears. Like so much is packed in that one course. Mm-hmm. They filmed it as a masterclass. And I've asked that it would be a pay what you can model. So you can even pay $1. You can pay whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And the goal here is that financially, no one is impeded from being able to connect to spirituality. And you just go to KabbalahOne.com. So it's KabbalahOne.com. And I'm sure it'll be posted everywhere. And the other thing is I have a podcast every week I do with my co-host, who's an amazing teacher. It's called Weekly Energy Boost. You can find it on, can find it everywhere. You can find it on Apple and Spotify. And you can also follow me on my Instagram. I would say those are the three places to start. Super simple.
And I can honestly attest to the Kabbalah 1 changing people's lives because it did for me. And I'm still hungry and I'm still yearning. There's so much more I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about the astrology because that for me is huge. It's always something that I've been so interested in and how powerful that is. The lunar energy, again, a huge part of everything that I do, like being like, you know, guided by the moon and what's going on. And today we have a new moon in Taurus and that's really powerful. So I feel like this is just, we're just scratching.
If your audience likes this, let them write to you and say, you know, I'm happy to come back. This always happens. We just barely scratch the surface. I've come on 2, 3, 4, 5 times on people's podcasts because if the audience appreciates it and it's really helping you, you know, I'm happy to come back and go deeper into more secrets.
Perfect. I'm going to hold you to that if that's okay. Sure. David, sure, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate your time and your energy and everything that you're doing because it's life-changing for so many people around this world and it's very much needed.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you did and it resonated with you, I would absolutely love it if you could share on your platforms or maybe leave a review and a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please do check out my website, adhdwomenswellbeing.co.uk, for lots of free resources and paid for workshops. I'm uploading new things all the time and I would absolutely love to see you there. Take care and see you for the next episode.